W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Our top story, a massive winter storm that's blanketing the country from the Pacific Northwest to the upper Midwest.
I'm Bruce Marcus in northern Wisconsin, which is seeing several inches of snow. It makes shoveling difficult.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about the snow. Forced exercise.
And driving is also tough.
I have an all-wheel drive car now, and I drive very slowly, and if I see somebody coming up who doesn't understand the rules of the road, I get out of their way.
But the latest snowstorm is improving snowmobile trails.
It's knocked out power to more than 820,000 customers in the Midwest, and there's a rare blizzard warning for the mountains of Southern California. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg slipped into a hard hat and an orange vest this morning on his first visit to the site of a toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, 3 weeks ago. Audio from video released by Buttigieg's office. He's been under fire for not visiting, though he lives just miles away. Former President Trump was there yesterday. The NTSB is expected to release preliminary findings on the accident today. Tomorrow marks a year since Russia launched its war on Ukraine. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
So where do things stand 1 year later?
I don't think anybody has really a clear upper hand, but I think the Ukrainians have time on their side.
Retired Lieutenant General and CBS News contributor H.R. McMaster on how further assistance from China may play a role.
China is already supporting Russia's war-making machine. They're buying 60% more oil from Russia than they were before the renewed invasion of a year ago. So they're feeding Putin's ATM that he needs to keep the war going.
The U.S. and NATO are now concerned that China could be preparing to supply Russia with weapons.
Police in Central Florida say a suspect is in custody in the shooting deaths of a TV news reporter and a 9-year-old girl following a woman's murder earlier in the day. Correspondent Manuel Bajorquez is in Orlando.
The woman who was killed in her car was known to the suspect. What is unknown is why he allegedly returned to the scene and targeted the news crew and that mother and child.
Others in critical condition. The economy grew a little slower than expected in the last quarter. The government says it expanded at a 2.7% annual rate. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The downward revision was due to less consumer spending than originally thought.
Something's missing in the produce aisle.
Dole classic blend salad.
Many supermarkets have run out of Dole's prepackaged lettuces after the company was reportedly hit with a ransomware attack. S&P futures up 18. This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Madnair. Here's what you need to know. Some areas of Wisconsin got socked with snow on Wednesday, while others are cleaning up a heavy mixture of snow and sleet. Cleanup going to be important because temperatures are expected to turn cold on Friday with highs only in the teens. However, a nice weekend warm-up is on the way with highs expected to be in the 30s. And if you're traveling, contact your airline, not the airport, to find out if things are running on time. 9 Wisconsin cheeses are among the 20 finalists at the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest in Green Bay, including 2 from northeastern Wisconsin, a hard cheese by Red Barn Family Farms in Egg Harbor, and an aged cheddar by Lactalis Heritage Dairy of Wyawega. Also in the top 20, cheesemakers from California, Connecticut, Idaho, Minnesota, New York, Pennsylvania, and Vermont. The contest had to be canceled in 2021 because of the COVID pandemic. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The devil's advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is. and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Professor Bob Harvey's on the line. You know, Professor Harvey, with all of the history of what you are talking about with the slave, with slavery in this country, and why some want that whitewashed. If you brought all this up to 2023 today, has there been, you know, advancements, enough changes? I mean, are we on a level playing field now? What are your thoughts about what has happened all the way up to today, Professor Harvey? It's one thing to talk about, that history, but we're making history today.
Well, sure we are. I mean, every day is a day of history. I mean, it's just a matter of who's recording it and how they are interpreting that, you know, whatever has been recorded or whatever has happened. You know, and I remember going back to Miss Watt when she called me a couple of weeks ago and looking at some famous quotes. And as I'm sitting there listening to you and talking right now, I'm reminded of those three quotes, two quotes, and I added a third. The first one was really done by Alex Haley in his book Roots, one of the last sentences that he made in it, where he said that history is written by the victors, not the victims. And so a lot of history is written by revisionists. As one historian once said, Arthur P. Whitaker said that asked that eternal question, aren't we all revisionists? Historians are always trying to revise because you learn new things and look at it from new angles, and so you change. Another quote is one by George Santana, those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And once you look at it from that standpoint, then it comes down to how you make changes. And I'm reminded of something that the conservative Edmund Burke said, that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So when you find evil out there, in this case, you know, the miseducation of people, you have to do something about it. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'll be contacting some entities to try to get them to start a nationwide boycott of certain events and things in Florida. Because if we stand by and let that happen, then we're going to be right back to where we started, you know, back in the 50s when Donald Trump wanted to make his America great again. That's Donald Trump's vision of America, that time period between 1900 and 1950, when discrimination and racism and bigotry and sexism ran rampant in this country. And we've got the politicians pushing that dog whistle again. And that's what DeSantis is doing, because he's been enabled by people like Donald Trump, people like John Boehner, who used to be the Speaker of the House, and people like Mitch McConnell, who they pretty much cater to it. And looking at the leadership of the Republican Party, they cater to that. I was watching a talk show the other night where there were some those Lincoln Cabin Republicans, those guys who broken away from the madness that's out there with the Republican Party right now.
Right.
And they were instrumental in helping to defeat Donald Trump in 2020. But as I sat there, I made a note. I was sitting there writing down some stuff, and I made a note. And I'm certainly proud that they've joined in the sensibility with the rest of us. But, Earl, since 1964 with Barry Goldwater, the Republican Party has acquiesced to these people. They've empowered them. And following the assassination attempt and disabling of George Wallace in the 1972 presidential race, where he was picking up steam all over the country, not just in the old Jim Crow South, it lets you know that the Republican Party, led by Richard Nixon, saw an opportunity to snatch up that disgruntled large white population, and he did. It was what you call a Southern strategy. And so that's what the Republican Party has been on. So when I see, I don't have, there are some things that Gerald Ford, and there are some things that Ronald Reagan, and there are some things that the Bushes, both George Herbert Walker Bush, and George W. Bush, all of them have done some positive things. Not Donald Trump, because he's just been a train wreck. But those other presidents, as I look back at their records and stuff, they did some positive things in many ways. They did some harmful things too, because part of their way, their strategy to get elected, was to adopt some parts of the Southern strategy. Donald Trump just came along and saw that opportunity and snatched all of it up. And that's what Ron DeSantis is doing. So those people are revisiting what made that part of the country or that population successful. And they've come to realize that it's not just in the old Jim Crow South that those attitudes prevail. That Southern strategy has now gone nationwide.
So, Professor Harvey, what we are seeing, and make no mistake about it, is clearly in rural areas of the nation now who have turned red, and many of them.
It's not just a rural area. That's where the mistake has been made.
Okay.
It's nationwide, okay. And it's in all levels. Because keep in mind that 35 and in some cases 40%, depending upon the part of the country you're in, of the population that supported Donald Trump and this new conservative agenda are coming from the urban and the suburban areas.
Okay.
These soccer moms and these whole bits. So it would be a gross mistake. And that's the same as making the mistake that in the South, it was just all Southern whites who were opposed to or who hated, having to share life with black folk. There was just as much discrimination up north when blacks left, starting at the close of the Civil War and started fleeing up north. They ran smack dab on the discrimination that they had never seen before. I mean, in 1862 and 63, while the Civil War was raging, you had blacks being lynched and schools being burned up north in northern cities, all kinds of race riots. You know, and you would think that would be something that's happening in the South, because there were a lot of northern whites that didn't want blacks up there either. Remember Wisconsin. Wisconsin in 1848 had a policy where they didn't want any black folk living in those towns and cities in that state. So, you know, in Wisconsin, it comes in 1848. But that was part of one of their original plans, was to keep blacks out. So, you know, and one of the things where the blacks were using Wisconsin as a trail to go up to Canada to get away from slavery.
So, Professor Harvey, how do we, in 2023, when we watch repeats of history that took place, and even though, as a guy called the other day and clearly wanted me to understand that Barack Obama got elected, and so that was to show that all of this has ended.
That's what Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts seems to think, that it's all over. Clarence Thomas thinks the same thing, that it's done. I mean, we've already been there. No, wrong answer. Until you understand and learn the correct history, and until you're able to engage your population in looking at that, until you do that, you're going to always have people slipping back to nostalgia. You know, and that's a common thing of times are not like they used to be. You heard a lot of old people say that.
Right.
You know, times are not like they used to be. Well, see, they're trying to go back to a time that, in fact, when they were there, it wasn't there either. But that's what they believe. And so we want to be lured back into a past that in some cases never really existed, but it makes you feel good to say it because it gives you some type of answer or solution to a problem that you're not willing to look at straight in the face.
You know, Professor Harvey, I am so with you on that. You talk about your 7-year-old granddaughter. And if we don't deal with what we are dealing with now, can you imagine what it's going to be for her generation? Because people want to say this has ended. And it has not. And clearly it is more overt now than it was, you know, 2 decades ago, a generation ago. It has gotten... I'm sorry, go ahead.
See, the thing that we've had to do in this household, because I, you know, both Laverne and I, you know, we've pushed our children to learn as much about history as they can. See, and the thing is that oftentimes we're living the history of the majority of the population. But being reminded of what Alex Haley said, you have to either, if you learn history correctly, you can at least avert being a victim. You can become a part of the solution to be a victor. You know, so the question that we have to leave the audience with today, what do you want to be? Do you want us to be a nation of victims, or do you want us to be a nation of victors? And the only way we can arrive at that as a democratic republic is for us to stress that we learned as much as we can about the outside world. It's just like that thing that the Santas is pushing right now. You just start sending our kids out there with just the white history, they're going to get a shellacking. I guarantee
you. Professor Harvey, hold the thought. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. When you see me smiling, you know things have gotten worse. Any smile you might see has all been hers. Darling, I can't go on without you. This emptiness won't let me live without you. This loneliness inside, darling, makes me feel.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
Trudy. So
they're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge. And then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for mixed precipitation changing to all snow this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast. Daytime highs approaching 34. West winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for snow showers tonight. Lows around 8 above. Partly cloudy. High of 21. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. A dusting of snow today with another dusting tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Professor Bob Harvey's on the line. So, Professor Harvey, I work with a lot of young children, and I have for many years, as well as you have. And we look at many of these black children. There is no level playing field. And after all these years, you should be asking the question, why is the playing field not level even after all of these years, Professor Harvey? And yet these children don't have a snowball's chance in hell, many of them, in this nation, after all of these decades and centuries. Professor Harvey, when can we expect that to change? And should we ever expect that to change?
Well, in some circles, you probably never would expect it to change because I hate to say it and just be blunt, but it's a lot of times it's human nature. But the one thing that you can do is enlighten them with knowledge to see that there are other ways. That's one of the beauties of learning about other people because you can see that those individuals can make it. I mean, what is the, for all of us, we're taught that if you work hard, you know, and this is the old Christian edict. If you work hard, be thrifty, and denounce bodily pleasures, and then focus on doing the right thing, being law-abiding and God-abiding, that you're going to somehow prosper.
But
and
that's not...
What is prosper? But what is prosper? What may be prosper for you
right. May
not be for me. The standards are different.
Right.
I mean, there's some people who are perfectly content to live the way they live now. If you want to live... In a trailer, you know, and just be content to do the
best. And you have a right to do that.
You have a right to do that. That's no problem with that. The problem occurs when you start trying to impose your way of life on others, and when you deny truth, something that's standing right there in your face. And how do you arrive at truth? Truth sometimes can be a variable, because what's truthful for one individual may not be truthful for another one.
No, Professor Ivy, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you on anything, but you're not saying that there are alternative facts on it. I mean, that's not what you're saying.
No, not at all. What I was going to say is that there are factors out there, pieces of information out there. For example, we know that in 1830, that we packed up thousands of Native Americans and moved them from states like Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Georgia, and shipped them off to really concentration camps. We call them Indian reservations. Right. I call them concentration camps. We moved them out there. There's no denying between 1883 and 1923, 2,800 African Americans were lynched. I'm not talking about hung because of breaking the car. I'm talking about being lynched just for being black and being in the wrong place. Those are facts. You can't get around that. You can't get around the fact that in World War II, when we were fighting against Nazi Germany, we had segregated armies. Just look at the story of the Tuskegee Airmen, the 332nd Fighter Group. Or look at the famous 442nd Nisei Regiment, Japanese Americans, who many of their family members were in concentration camps. We call them internment camps, but they were concentration camps. They just didn't have the ovens. We had their families locked up while they were over there fighting and dying in Italy, in Southern Europe. So those are facts that you can't get around. In 1881, the Congress of the United States passed the Chinese Exclusion Act, keeping Chinese workers who had helped build the railroads to help make this nation more industrialized. And yet they couldn't get their certificate so that they could become citizens because we banished them from doing it. Those are facts that Ron DeSantis and others are trying to crush this woke nonsense and telling the truth. White kids need to learn that truth to know that we've been this way before and we're not going this way again, because ultimately, not only white kids, but black kids and Native Americans, Asian Americans, you know, Hispanic Americans, all of them need to learn that cold, hard truth so that we don't make the same mistake twice. That's why I love that quote from George Santayana: those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat.
Professor Harvey, hold the thought.
You want to learn from them.
Hold the thought, man. It's why I love you so much, man, and doing this, man. We got another break, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Winter weather's icing over roads and creating whiteout conditions across the country. This driver's in Portland, Oregon.
I was not expecting this much snow. I was completely bewildered when I started to head home, and it just got worse and worse.
Hundreds of thousands of customers have no power in the upper Midwest. There's a blizzard warning for the Southern California mountains. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is in East Palestine, Ohio, for the first time since the toxic train derailment there 3 weeks ago.
If we get closer down here, we get around the side of this tank car.
He's getting a tour of the crash site as he faces criticism over his absence, despite living just miles away. The NTSB will release its preliminary report on the disaster today. Economic growth was slower than expected in the last quarter. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
In the second estimate, that growth level was revised downward to 2.7%.
S&P futures up 30. This is CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Now that Dan Kelly is one step closer to getting back on the state Supreme Court, he's going to get a boost from a phony referendum that'll also be on the April ballot, thanks to legislative Republicans. Voters will be asked, should able-bodied, childless adults be required to look for work before getting any welfare benefits? But that's already in state law. They know that. But they also know the ballot question provides a convenient excuse for distractions, political ads, and angry radio hosts talking about welfare cheats. Because they'd rather not talk about how Kelly on the court would mean the 1849 abortion ban stays in place and political maps can stay rigged. If more voters knew about that, they'd be less likely to support Kelly. So bring on the latest load of manufactured anger about an issue that isn't real. Catch Up North News Radio weekday mornings 6 to 8.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again. Like,
yeah.
I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Professor Bob Harvey is on the line. You know, Professor Harvey, I always kind of look at it from this perspective. And, you know, if the nation lived up to its creed that we are founded under the Judeo-Christian ethic, if the nation would follow that Christianity at the dominant, predominant, religion and belief in this country, if it just followed that, if it just followed the teachings of Christ and the Bible, we wouldn't be where we are. But you can't condemn other religions, Professor Harvey. And talk about, you can't just condemn other religions, Professor Harvey, and then, you know, not follow the teachings of the one that's the predominant one in this country. If we just did that, a lot of this would end.
Well, Earl, that remains to be seen, but yeah, I can't think of a single religion in world history. And I'm talking about some of the worldly religions now, because there are many smaller denominations or sects that are out there all over the world. Most of them I don't even know.
Right.
And I doubt most people know. Even theologians or theology scholars. But my thing is that when it comes to Christianity, remember that's a marriage between, Judaism and Christianity. And they fought each other, too. Remember, Germany was supposed to be a Christian nation, too. But it slaughtered, you know, Jews and other Christian people left and right. It went beyond religion. It created another ideology that gave them the right to exterminate or to destroy other people. Remember, Hitler, when he went into Czechoslovakia and then in 1938 and then into Poland, those were Christian nations too, but it didn't stop him.
Right.
You know, so, and look at the Crusades from 1096, roughly from 1096 to 1296. 8 major Crusades, they went down there and they killed up, you know, more Christians and more Jews than they did Muslims. So you've always had those battles going. And I tell people, if you're going to learn the word, learn it. But then you got to deal with the interpretation. What does it mean? What do those words mean?
Yeah.
You know, and when people talk about, you know, for example, you know, a lot of those woke believers believe in a rigid thing in the Bible that the Lord made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Well, you know, what is, you know, we're arrogant when we interpret that, you know, those passages, you know, or that particular passage. Because what is one day to God?
Right.
We're arrogant thinking that it's based on our clock and on the calendar, but it's not. It could be a billion years to him, but to us, in our own arrogance and sense of self-righteousness, that we intend to look at it in linear terms of just 6,000 years. Yet scholars have told us that mankind first walked this earth probably sometime around 2 million years ago. And that of that number, probably we are, in terms of modern man, it's about 250,000 years.
So Professor Harvey, I'm sorry, but with what you are saying then, it leads me to believe that man being who and what we are, we don't have the capabilities to overcome these things. That's just who we are.
We got to be very careful about speaking in absolutes, because some people do. They get it.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just like this myth in history. And I've been wrestling with this, you know, since I really got into history back in high school. My sophomore year in high school, and that was back in 1962. And that is, where do I fit in all this history? Because I didn't see it in the history books coming up in 1962 at an all-black high school. You know, that was a Jim Crow school, because all I saw in the history books was whiteness, and it gave no reference to us except when they talked about slavery. But I knew that there was something that said the teachers weren't allowed to teach it, because, you know, they had a plan that they had to follow. So you get out there and you seek that truth. And when I started learning about other things, I got angry because why didn't I learn this in school? Why was I brought up with this? Because I had this inferior complex about me, and that had to be erased. And so in learning it, something else happened. Or when I found out, for example, that yes, you know, whites did this to us, but at the same time, you also learn, when you learn the total history, you also learn that there are other people out there that do stuff to you that's from your own group.
Right.
It's not just from others outside, it's from your own group. You have to learn that. And I remember one of the most angry times that I had coming up and learning African-American history when I attended North Carolina Central University was when I found out that, blacks sold other blacks into slavery. I had a hard time dealing with that. But it's those are the facts that hit you right between the eyes. And so you have to deal with that, do your research, learn that, since it's something different or alien than what I was brought up with. And once you learn that, you start seeing a more clear picture that it has nothing to do with race. It has to do, and it has nothing to do with economics, because there are a lot of poor kids who are smart as hell.
Right.
You know, they just don't have the resources to get to another place, but they still learn. And so we have to get past a lot of this race, sex, class restrictions that we have and put out on ourselves. And sometimes institutions put those ceilings there for you. But if you learn properly, you can burst right through those ceilings and go as high as your mind will take you. Not where someone else will take you, but where your mind will take you. And I leave this message that I've always left to most of my students and the thousands of students that I've taught in college class, four colleges and in numerous classrooms. And that is, once you learn something, you can go beyond the limitations that people put on you, because the brain is such a fascinating, you know, organ that it can prepare you beyond things that restrictions and institutions, rigid institutions, put in your way.
You know, Professor Harvey, I don't disagree with any of what it is you just said. And yes, individually, people can overcome all of those things. But I've seen and continue to see, you know, second class schools in central cities, even today. And you know, things that we thought we should have been beyond, right?
But Earl, that's because that. But you got to understand that there are multifaceted of reasons why it failed. It could be the legislative branches got involved with it.
Yeah, whatever.
It could be the school board. It could be the teachers. But we have to learn what those problems are. And oftentimes, we misread the problem. It's not the kids. I tell
people,
when I was up there in Milwaukee.
You mean we meaning the society? Professor Harvey, you mean we meaning?
The society as a whole. And okay. I always tell people, one of the greatest creations in Western history, and especially in the United States, one of its greatest contributions was that it guaranteed that every child would have access to a 12-year education. And that now it goes right to a 14 to 15-year education, because now you got structured kindergarten all the way up through to the 12th grade. And public education is a jewel, but we have wrecked it because of politics. And it's not just enough to blame the politicians. You're missing the boat if you do that. You also need to blame parents who don't get out there and vote and get involved. You also need to blame it on teachers' unions who are more concerned about, you know, getting their pockets filled with their dues every 2 weeks or every month, as opposed to educating the kids. You can blame it on teachers. Some teachers don't want to teach the kids. You know, isn't it amazing that the public schools in the central cities are failing? But right across town in the suburbs, they're thriving. Has anybody ever thought to try to figure out why that is?
Why is that, Professor?
And it's because where there's a will, there's a way. And if you find in some of the poorest places, kids are learning in leaps and bounds. And so the thing is, I always say that the kids in the Milwaukee public schools, just like down here in North Carolina, the kids in the predominantly black schools, they didn't fail. We failed them. the teachers, you know, and the principals, and the other educators, the politicians, we have failed the kids. But public education is a jewel. If we've wrecked it because now everybody wants to go to choice and charter schools. If people had wanted us to go to private schools, they would have done that centuries ago. But private schools are for teaching, trying to teach elitism. So here we got parents instead of them standing and fighting right there in the schools and making them things work, they're running from them. And while they're busy running, chasing choice and charter schools, getting away from public education, you know, and running away from it and going to choice and charter schools, which is going to be structured and controlled, you're finding now with this woke movement, white parents are now going back, taking over their school districts.
So, Professor Harvey, hang on.
There's a method to this madness, Earl.
Hang on. Just bring him on, Calvin. Who do we have on the line?
Ron from Milwaukee.
All right, Ron. Yeah, go ahead.
Like you, I agree with much of what the professor says. Not all, but much. But one thing I would point out from my experience is that in the public school systems and in some other institutions that we have cherished so many decades and centuries in this country, the prime movers of the decline of the public school system were not average people or school teachers or unions. It was conservative and business interests that were interested in privatizing education because they didn't believe in public education. And I really do believe that the history of voucher schools and choice movements might have been well intentioned on one level, but on another level, they were draining resources from public schools and they knew it. And teachers have to deal with that. It's overwhelming. Administrators, people in government who have to raise property taxes against strong opposition.
Professor Harvey, you want to respond?
And I could agree with some of what he said, but I was in that battle, when they tried to have a referendum to build or renovate 18 schools in the Central City, since everybody was complaining about busing and the whole big, we went to that fight in the 1990s all the way up to 2006, you know, and we're still going through it. And everybody was talking about, you know, we're getting sick and tired of busing our kids into the Central City because the only kids that were bused in large numbers
were black students
from their schools and having their schools shut down were from the Central City.
Right.
You know, and the only school that managed to survive that was an elite school, and that was Rufus King.
So
the others, the teachers, they didn't believe in the kids. A lot of times we found out that the teachers didn't believe in the kids as well.
So Professor Harvey, it's unfortunate, but we got to run. We'll be in touch. Thank you very much. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Hang on, Professor Harvey. Be right back.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a chance of scattered snow showers. Highs around 34. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 8 above. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Highs around 21. A dusting of snow today with another dusting tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Professor Bob Harvey's on the line. You know, Professor Harvey, and many might not know it, but in your time in Milwaukee and when Polly Williams and Larry Harwell created what has now been commonly known as vouchers, they created that, and that was created supposedly with the help of then governor. What was the governor's name? How can I forget who?
I know you're talking about.
Yeah. And so.
Tommy Thompson.
And so that was created, and the vouchers were created supposedly because Polly Williams wanted to give black students an equal opportunity at a good education, even though they couldn't afford it. That was the whole purpose of it. George Bush, number one, and the Republicans then took control over it and changed it to what it is today.
But, you know, Earl, and I said this back then with Polly, because I used to go to Polly meetings, and sometimes she wouldn't even recognize it, but I would show up at a meeting. Because we had ballots, and I love Polly dearly because at the end, she had invited me on our show with WNOV, and I was on our show as a commentator, because, the thing is, she and I went at it in those meetings, and I told her that they were making a big mistake. I told her audiences that because you were chasing the wrong dream. Earl, there's a reason why you got private schools. Private schools are for people who want a selective education away from the general public. But the backbone, a major backbone of the American middle class and the American society is public education. And the reason I knew that is because I was born and raised in the South, as were many of them who were pushing that argument about choice in charter schools. Growing up in the South, you came to realize that public education was a way out for a lot of people. And if you go around chasing rainbows, you're going to end up losing out. And the reason I say that in earnest is because when the 1954 decision of Brown versus Board of Education occurred, I was going into, my second year in school. And my mother made us sit and watch the struggle that they were going through in 54 with the Brown versus Board of Education decision. And his subsequent 55 decision of all deliberate speed. And we watched as the integration occurred between 1954 and 1964. We saw large numbers of whites in the South, rather than to integrate as the courts had asked them to, we found out that many of those individuals, they went out there, some of them built brand new campuses, brand new schools for their white kids so they wouldn't have to sit in the classroom with black folk. And something happened after about 4 years. They ran out of money because it got too expensive, and they ran out of students. So they had to end up getting black kids after all. And rather than to integrate those kids in the schools that they were in because they realized that many of those schools were underfunded and junky. They didn't want their kids going to them. We had been going to them all along. So they ended up building mega schools in their part of town. And so our kids end up being bussed out of their neighborhoods, going to those schools.
So,
and Earl, it was frightening and amazing to see the same thing happening that was going on in Burlington, North Carolina in the 1960s, happening in Milwaukee, yeah, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it happened.
In the 2000s.
Hang on, Professor Hoffman. Let's go to Robert quickly from West Dallas. Robert, quickly, you say what?
Yeah, I'll be fast. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of issues beyond the teachers and the parents. You know, there's a lot of issues going on in homes, right? Whether the kids don't have enough food, whether there's drugs in the home, whether there's violence in the home. And because the budgets are stretched so thin, you know, we've been 12, 13 years of austerity where the Republicans won't give money to the city. It's created a lot of issues. Most of these schools, and I can't speak for Milwaukee, I haven't been in a ton of the schools, are more likely to have a police officer on staff than they are a social worker or a school psychologist to help families and children with issues. So I think we really need to reimagine it. And I think hopefully Tota Sawicz will win the Supreme Court race and we can get rid of gerrymandering and get some legislators in there that are really going to work with the city rather than trying to provide money to their donors. They'll actually provide some money back to the community to solve some of these issues.
Hey,
but the charters definitely cherry-pick the best students, and they take a lot of resources.
Hey, Robert, thank you very much. I wish we had more time. Professor Harvey, you say what to that?
Kick them out of school, and guess where them kids go? Right back into the school system without the funding. We learned that formula as well. But you got to keep in mind, we've always had kids going to school hungry. We've always had kids who were abused at home. That's not new. That happened when I was in school. When I was in school in the 1950s up through 1965 when I graduated. That kind of stuff always goes on. That's not new. But what is that the media has highlighted that, and that's an excuse that some people use. And I do understand that a lot of teachers are dedicated to teaching. Don't get me wrong. But there's some of them, and I know because my Laverne and I, she'll tell you, we've met them right there at Rufus King and some of the other schools where the kids, they didn't want the kids there. They wanted to get their paycheck. They were more concerned, and many of them didn't even go to MPS, and yet they taught there. And that was black and white and the whole bit. So, and the revenue sharing, which is what the gentleman is talking about, yeah, that's always been a disadvantage. Milwaukee would send $20 down to the state capitol, and we would be lucky to get $5 back because a lot of that money was going up there to the suburbs and some of the other counties scattered all over the state. So we have to appreciate the fact that there are a multitude of issues. I agree. It's much bigger than the teachers and the school board and the parents not getting involved. But it also involved politics that in the state assembly. It also involved politics at the national level,
so,
where they promise a whole lot of things and don't deliver.
So, Professor Harvey, thank you from the depths of my heart for, you know, taking us on this rendezvous. Listen, you know me. I'm going to be calling on you again. We got to hear more from you, and people have to realize what we're all up against. That's Professor Bob Harvey all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'll be in touch with you, Professor Harvey. We got to go.
Have a nice day, man.
Yeah, you too. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Jerome Loesch. He is with the United States Marshal. We got something to talk about. We'll be right back.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too. Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.